Friday. Welcome back into our second hour. I'm live in Southern California, live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I am Jim Rome. You freeze. Now you are done. As I mentioned, here is something I am not surprised to be saying. Hugh Freeze resigned yesterday. I am surprised, though, that the biggest reason he resigned, because the school found at least one call from the coach to an escort service on a school-issued cell phone. I'm not surprised he resigned. I am surprised that he did something that stupid. That's big topic. I started my thoughts on OJ could not get through it. In fact, I'm going to save those thoughts and finish them up a little bit later on this hour because I've got something even more important to do right now. That's have a conversation with a Bleacher Report, NFL, national lead writer. He's also an author of numerous books, including You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask and Snake, The Legendary Life of Ken Stabler. We are joined by the legend himself, Mike Freeman. Mike, good morning. What's going on? How are you?
Jim, I'm sorry. I'm putting my burner phone away real quick for a call I got to make later.
It's a very good move. What do you make of a guy, Mike? Seriously. Hey, Mike, what's up? How you doing?
Good.
What's popping, Twitter? What do you make of a guy like that making phone calls?
I know I'm an NFL guy, Jim, but that is one of the craziest stories I have ever heard. How are you calling, making those calls from your office phone? It's your office phone. You're like, somebody's going to look at those records. That's crazy.
Hey, Mike, it's got nothing to do. It has nothing to do with you being an NFL guy. You are just a guy, period. Hey, look, I don't condone it. Let's be very clear about this. I do not condone this guy, especially a man of faith, as he is purported to be, calling hookers. I'm not condoning that on any level. But to do it from a university-issued telephone, is anybody that stupid?
Apparently he is. And I got to say, too, just from reading up on him, how he was always sort of flaunting that Christian part of him. And my goodness, while he was telling people this stuff, he was on the phone calling whoever.
Lookers.
So this, I mean, and you know how I feel about college football, like college sports, but the NCAA is garbage. And the coaches are full of crap. At least in the NFL, they're upfront about their debauchery.
Mm.
In college, those guys, like, they act like, these coaches act like they're these institutions of great moral standing. And they're horrible. Sorry, Jim, I'm going off on a tangent, but they're horrible. The NFL, at least, they know what they are. Like, they know they're greedy. They know there's some dudes that are just should not be in the NFL. The coaches know they're in it for the cash. Like, they're upfront about what they do.
Now, if you're a scumbag, be honest about it.
Phony.
If you're a scumbag, be a scumbag and let everybody know and be transparent.
Exactly.
Mike Freeman joining us. All right, Mike, I know that said, it's also not necessarily on your beat, but what was your reaction to the sideshow that was the O.J. Simpson parole board hearing yesterday?
I thought one of the best parts of when the O.J. said, what was the phrase he used, Jim, where he was talking about how he hadn't really been involved in any really horrible things for a while.
He has basically a conflict-free life. Is that the one you're reaching for?
Conflict-free life.
Conflict. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not I'm not exactly sure what the literal definition of conflict is, but I would say what he did would meet it. And it was like, I don't know how you felt, Jim. It was like going back in time watching that, right? Like, you and I both lived that trial. For people who don't know, like, that was one of the more intense moments in really recent television history, watching that whole thing. It was riveting. And seeing that was the parole hearing sort of brought you back. And that was a rough time in American history. There was a lot of racial divide, and O.J. sort of took advantage of that. And now here we are, and he's living what was the phrase again, Jim?
Basically a conflict-free life.
A conflict-free life, yes. So
right.
Was my reaction. When that was said, I almost threw something at my television. I mean, I guess he served the time, and he's going to, everyone deserves a Oh, never mind.
Yeah, right.
I can't even
justify it anyway. He's basically living a conflict-free life, and Hugh basically misdialed that hooker. Misdialed that hooker, all right? So let us shift over.
You know, when I misdial people, it's usually like the pizza delivery place.
This is what I said earlier. What is that? I mean, and nobody ever misdials a plumber or a baker or the pizza place, but he just so happened to misdial a hooker. I mean, what are the chances? What an unlucky dude. All right, shifting over. Mike Freeman joins us. Shifting over to Ezekiel Elliott. What do you make of the report, Mike, that the alleged victim and the witnesses in that Sunday night incident suddenly are not cooperating with the Dallas police?
Jim, are we shocked by this?
No. No, we're not.
I mean, it was the minute I saw that, I thought that was definitely going to be the case. And people are going to start disappearing. And the overall thing with that is you really, if you're Ezekiel Elliott, he doesn't seem to get or at least care. It's a whole new ball game when you leave. No matter, even if you play in a really great, highly visible program like Ohio State, when you go into the NFL, it's 1,000 times worse in terms of the how many people are watching you, the repercussions of the things you do. Little things are sort of blown up, and it sounds like in the bar like he was defending someone, but it doesn't matter. He's shown a pattern for not really caring about the repercussions or understanding what will happen when you do something. In the NFL, they are watching. Everyone's watching. The team's watching. Your teammates are watching. There's always some guy out there in a bar who says, I'm going to go punch Ezekiel in the face because I'm badder than he is. And it was one of the things that I was covering the NFL for so long, and one of the things Michael Strahan, Hall of Famer, always told me that. He was always cautious about when he went out because somebody was always trying to make a name for themselves using him. And Elliott's got to understand that. And I know for a fact, I mean, this is not like crazy breaking news, but teammates have told him, try to really caution him about going out. And when the NFL's watching you the way the NFL's watching him right now and reviewing cases right now with him, just stay home, watch a movie, watch Star Trek like Jim does every night, like me. Dude, just chill.
Man, keep my name out of your mouth, Mike. I've never seen Star Trek. You know I would never do that. And you keep Star Trek and my name both out of your mouth. You know I would never do that, Mike. You know for a fact I would never do that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
I did until you said that.
There's nothing wrong every now and then, especially when you're under the microscope right now, to just kind of chill. I'm not saying a 20-something-year-old can't go out. Of course you can go out, but chill a little bit at certain times.
You know what I'm saying, Mike Freeman joining us, I'm saying it's not the best idea. I'm not saying you can't go out. I'm saying it's not the best idea. And why? For two reasons. The one that you made about Mike Strahan and the point that he made, that every bar has one. Every single bar has one. 99% of the people out there might be happy to see you and might want to have a good time, but all it takes is one, and every single bar has one. And then the flip side of that, every single person in the world right now is a TMZ reporter with that phone that they can roll video with. So, yeah, you know what? It's not a great idea to go to a bar.
Your second point you made was a really good one about how everyone has their little phone and watching you and recording you. That's a great point.
All my points are great points, Mike. You know that. You and I have done this for a long time.
Your Star Trek one was not great.
No, that was the best point I've made in quite some time, actually. All right, so the problem with this guy is he just doesn't get it. Hopefully he figures it out sooner than later. And to your other point, which is a very good point, his own teammates are pulling him aside and saying, come on, man, you have to understand what's at stake here. This is not Columbus. Now, let me move on to something quickly, Mike, before you go. Over the weekend, Johnny Manziel said that he was preparing for an NFL comeback. He told the Dallas Morning News that he had, quote, a couple of conversations with some teams, end quote. I know you've been tracking this. How accurate is that? For instance, were teams calling his people or were his people calling teams?
His people were calling teams, mostly. I mean, I think there are GMs and coaches and scouts who see themselves in Johnny Manziel, like not all that athletic and just see themselves in him. And they think what, and you know from being around sports Jim, a long time, there's a lot of guys who say, I can fix him. And there's a lot of guys thinking that maybe we can get that guy that was in college, that was so spectacular. The problem is the guy that was in college was in college, and the guy that was in the pros was lazy, non-athletic, slow, weak arm, didn't study, didn't have the respect of his teammates, didn't take the game seriously, and was a bum. Other than that, he was very good. So he's not the guy in college anymore. He's moved up to a level where everyone is faster, everyone is smarter, everyone works harder, and he never adapted. So that's the problem. And if Johnny Manziel, Jim, gets signed before Colin Kaepernick, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it, and then I'm going to make you watch Star Trek all the time.
Yeah, well,
that better not happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Don't worry about that. But to your point about Colin Kaepernick, Robert Griffin III, something you reported, several teams have told you that RG3 is starting to draw mild interest. There's a debate as to whether or not Johnny Manziel is drawing interest. There is no debate. Dan Orlovsky was just signed by the Rams. So what kind of interest is there in Colin Kaepernick right now?
It's with Kaepernick, Jim, it's just there's nothing going on.
So how do you explain that?
It's I think when I first started writing a lot about Kaepernick, you and I have talked about this a couple times on your show, I was, not that I was on an island, but I didn't have a whole lot of company when I was saying very early on that he was probably not going to play in the NFL again, and he was not going to play because of his protest. That was the core of it, and teams denied it. You saw some other writers were like, no, he'll get signed, but here we are. And Dan Orlovsky, whose claim to fame is running out of bounds in the end zone, just got signed before a guy who played in the Super Bowl and is still very talented. So we have proved to me, I don't know how you feel, we have proven why he's not in the NFL. When you're signing Dan Orlovsky before him and all these other guys, a bunch of stiffs before him, the NFL has made all the statement it needs.
Mike, what is the statement, and exactly what is that? I mean, how much is that about owners that have a personal issue with him over what he did? How much of that is about an owner that doesn't want to deal with the backlash of the fans? How the hell is this even possible? How is it possible if this guy is not getting any interest when guys like the guys you mentioned are?
It's all about, Jim, his stand and owners. Some of the owners on a core level, on a DNA level, really disagree with what he did. Some of the owners are afraid of the backlash. It's a combination of that and a few other things. I think if it was just up to some coaches, he would have been signed by now. But ownership, some people in the executive firm, remember, as much as we love the league and love football, Jim, it has an element of extremism in it. There are owners that just don't like players having opinions. Political opinions, strong opinions. They want you to just play ball and shut up. So that's the main thing here. And he did something that some owners, I don't agree with this, but this is what some owners think, and some people in the league think, that he was unpatriotic, that he was disrespecting the military. And he's not. Neither of those things are true. So that's where we are. And is there a chance that someone says, screw this, he's too good, I'm going to give it a shot? There's always that chance, but it's like 1%.
Like who, Mike?
Who
do you think is the
franchise?
Mike, who is the franchise?
I think he knew he was gone when he did it, Joe.
Right. So, Mike, if you had to guess, if there's a 1% chance, if there's one team, who do you think would be the one franchise or the one owner or the one coach that would take that shot?
I thought for sure it would be Seattle. And then maybe a team like Oakland. So, but I don't, you know, I can't think of anyone else that where he would fit in. Like, the Seattle locker room loves Kaepernick, loves him. And so in the Raiders too. There are organizations that where the players and the organization is a little more tolerant of that type of thing, off the field stuff. But the problem is, it's just too late now. Now, if there's a rash of injuries, maybe a couple teams really get seriously interested, but I mean, they just signed Dan Orlovsky.
That's the end of your conversation.
That's the end of the
conversation. That's where the conversation stops. That's where the conversation stops. They signed Dan Orlovsky. You know, that's when you drop the mic and you walk off. That's when the conversation ends. He is an NFL national lead writer for Bleacher Report. He is the author of numerous books, including You Negotiate Like a Girl with Amy Trask, Snake, The Legendary Life of Ken Stabler, and the unofficial national Star Trek honk for the ages. How you like that, Mike? Feel better
now? Oh, my God.
Can you hear that, Mike? How does that make you feel?
I love this. This is better than butt-dialing escorts.
Everything's better than butt-dialing escorts, Mike.
Live long and prosper, Jim.
Long and prosper. Have an amazing weekend, Mike. Great to have you back. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Mike Freeman. Your clones, go ahead and tweet at him. He loves it. He's prolific on Twitter as well. Mike Freeman, my guest. Thank you very much. We are wide open. Travis Shaw, top of hour number three. Alvy's week that was, also in the third hour. ATP coming up. I got about halfway through my thoughts on O.J. Simpson. I want to finish that. I want to talk about Derrick Rose, maybe going to the Cavaliers. I've got thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott. By the way, O.J. already has a job offer. I want to hit that too. And more on the Smack Off, which is exactly 1 week from today.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome. So I'm still trying to finish my thoughts on OJ, and this is going to be a short segment because we ran kind of fat on the last one. In the meantime, a few tweets as well. Justo Cruz tweets, to be fair, OJ said he was basically conflict-free. There is room in that statement to have conflicts. Rich in the 970 tweets, we'd be living conflict-free lives too if we were still living. Regards, Ron and Nicole. And there's a suggestion for Jake. We're trying to find a college for Jake. And he wants to go to a big city. I'm trying to convince him to go to a college town. Wow, Alvin, pretty nicely done. Should he go to a college town or a big city? Jake's going to start bumping that. Parkham24 tweets, James, we'll take Jake in Madison. School Spirit. All right, that's another college town that I didn't mention. We had Madison on our list of tour stops back in the day. So when I did tour stops, I don't know if you're familiar with this. The old school jungle listeners know what the tour stops are because a lot of you attended them. But we would go into a market and I would do a show. I would do a live show. It was not on air, but it was a live show. And again, this was long before there was social media, even before the internet to a certain extent. But we would go in and we went to a series of markets and they were all different, but there were some amazing, amazing tour stops. If you went to them back in the day, you know what I'm talking about. Sacramento was incredible. Cleveland was incredible. Buffalo was amazing. Oakland sucked. We had amazing tour stops and two bad ones, one in Oakland and one in LA. But we did go to Madison and they were all off the hook because they were all free and people usually ran into a beer or five. But to be fair and to be honest, I've never seen anything like Madison. They hit it harder in Madison than they did anywhere else. Harder than Cleveland, harder than Tampa, harder than Sacramento, harder than Detroit, harder than Kansas City. They went harder in Madison. In fact, that goes way, way back. Now, the opens were pretty similar, but if I recall, the open to the Madison tour stop sounded like this.
Oh, yeah, Madtown! Freaking Madison, Wisconsin!
I was pretty hyped. I was pretty hyped, and they were pretty drunk. So, I don't know. You know, Jake, again, Jake's got a plan. Jake's one of those kids where he already towers me. Jake goes like 5'11", 6 feet, 185, eats clean, spends a lot of time in the weight room, is on the baseball team. I don't think that he's going to be one of those kids. Now, yeah, I know. It sounds like a ridiculous statement to make. But he's not going to be one of those guys that goes to a school and gets caught up in that scene. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to go and party. His old man went to UC Santa Barbara. Believe me, I got mine. I'm more concerned about his little bro. His little bro, Logan, is way more likely to end up, I think, in Madison and hitting it hard.
Oh, yeah.
After all, Logan's the one who's constantly pushing me for my olives out of the Magic Blue. I'm like, son, you probably don't need that. You're 12. Yeah, but Dad, last time I had one, man, it kicked in. Logan, you did not say that. You know how I knew? Okay, so if we're going to be fully transparent here on a Friday, before happy hour. All right, so I let my 12-year-old have the olives out of the Magic Blue. I do. It's a weird thing for a kid like that to like. You know, like my 16-year-old son eats everything. He's trying to gain weight. He's trying to gain weight, build muscle. So Jake never stops eating. Logan won't start. Logan just like doesn't really care for food. But he'll eat the olives out of a martini. It makes no sense, right? Until he dials me in one night. Hey, Dad, that last one really, quote, kicked in. So I don't think too much of it. And then the weirdest thing. I'll change up once in a while from the Magic Blue. And I'll find another variety of gin. So maybe I'll go Hendrix. All right, so I'll change up. There's Magic Blue, which is Bombay Sapphire. There's the Hendrix. There's Tanqueray. So I'll change up. And one day I give Logan one of the olives. And I kid you not, the kid says to me, hey, Dad, that's not Sapphire, is it? I'm like, damn, are you kidding me? The 12-year-old kid can distinguish between gins now. So now I'm mortified. So now I'm about to cut him off, period. We're not doing this little game anymore at all. But then, the following week, before I cut him off, I'm going to have one more experiment before I cut this kid off. So I pour myself a vodka martini. And I don't tell him. And he says to me, hey, Dad, can I have one of those olives? I said, you know what, son? You can. You really can. However, I want you to tell me, do you think that it's Bombay Sapphire or do you think it's Hendrix? He goes, okay, I think I can get this. Keep in mind, I poured a Grey Goose vodka and I didn't tell him. The kid eats the olive. I said, what is it, son? Is it the Magic Blue? And he knows what Magic Blue is. Or is it Hendrix? He looks at me, kind of looks around, and he goes, you know what, Dad? I'm going to go with neither. The kid can distinguish not only between gins, but between gin and vodka. That game has come to an end. He no longer has my olives. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Jake going to Madison. I'm really worried about Logan, though, ending up there. In fact, I'm going to discourage his studies. I hope he doesn't go to college at all. Maybe he'll be part of that GED nation and skip the party altogether. Can I tell you something? First of all, the kid's not going to leave home, which Janet will like. I didn't discover gin until I was like well into my 30s. At 12, this kid already knows more about gin than I do. But then again, as I did mention on a podcast once, Logan also knows more about gambling than I do. Logan goes to the track and plays like superfectas and tries, and he knows more about that than I do. Hey, Rome, I went to the University of South Dakota, which is in Vermilion, South Dakota. I can confirm that every small dive college town has their own Mississippi Queen who everyone at the school knows will be hammered probably 5 days a week, minimum. When I was in school, this girl was named Smashley. Not to name names. Always smashed. Always causing a scene that you couldn't look away from. When they graduate, they always pass the torch to the next ambassador of school spirits. Spirit. War college towns and the drunkest chicks on campus. Reading Orlando. It's not even about like the queen or quote chicks. It's about going to college. It's about the experience. It's about the party. And some can handle it and some can't. And hey, look, you know that whole thing about every year that list comes out, the best college, or the best party towns in the nation. Find me one college that's not a party college. College is a party. Every college parties. You know, yeah, UC Santa Barbara or Colorado or Arizona State. There's a party at every single college. It's just a matter of whether or not you can handle it. You're mature enough to handle it. That from day one you've been hammered into you, or it's been hammered into you, make good choices, make good decisions. Or if you're a kid who at age 12 can already distinguish between gins. So that's not about Smashley, although that is a good handle. Smashley.
Smash!
You know, I still haven't figured out or finished my thought on O.J. Simpson. That take is coming like in 9 parts. I got to slice that thing up 9 different ways to finish it. Hey, 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 hey,
hey-o. Hey-o.
Travis Shaw coming up the top of hour number 3. I will finish the take on OJ. I will start the take on Derrick Rose. I will start another take on Ezekiel Elliott. I will start a take on OJ's first job offer. I will have a take also, TMZ is now reporting. There's good news and bad news about OJ. The good news is he beat that rap. Even with that horrible performance, he's going to be sprung. The bad news is, in that prison, they've already moved him to another place because they're fearful that other inmates want to make a name for themselves by hurting OJ. All of that coming up the next hour and a half. The week that was, the ATP and more. But first,
live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Take that my 12-year-old son can distinguish between not only gin and vodka, but different kinds of gin, and can do so just based on how an olive tastes. Hey, Rome, when my son was 12, he could already tell the difference between breakfast moonshine and lunch moonshine. Signed, Bodie's Pappy.
Well, Stephen
PHX, Bodie's Pappy.
Suck it, man.
Suck it, Steve, in PHX. Bodie is a smack-off invitee. He's never won, but as far as I'm concerned, Bubba's always welcome. He did RSVP earlier this week. All right, so to finish that thought on OJ really quickly, you know, it's pretty absurd that, quote, he said, I thought that I was a good guy. I've had some problems with fidelity in my life, but I've always been a guy that pretty much got along with everybody. OJ. A guy that got along with everybody. Not Nicole. Not Ron. In fact, not a lot of people, come to find out. But there's more. That was absurd, but it was also absurd for him to joke that, quote, I can easily stay in Nevada, but I don't think you guys want me here.
I could easily stay in Nevada, but I don't think you guys want me here.
No comment, sir.
I didn't mean to step on him, Albie. Run that back. Listen to how funny Oge thinks that joke is.
I could easily stay in Nevada, but I don't think you guys want me here.
No comment, sir.
I mean, is this the Lovelock Correctional Institute or the Laugh Factory? Was that a parole board hearing to determine if you'll be released from prison or an open mic night? Do not forget to tip your waitress. Except he wasn't even the biggest joker there. That title either goes to the moron on the parole board who said that OJ was 90, or the one who told OJ's daughter, don't worry, we're nervous too. Or the one who wore a Kansas City Chiefs tie to the hearing. Seriously, dude, what the hell were you thinking? Nothing says taking your job seriously like throwing on an NFL team necktie. Was the Bills tie at the dry cleaner? Did you have your gamer, your jersey, that you wanted him to sign afterwards? I'm surprised that guy didn't say, Mr. Simpson, you rushed for 458 yards and 5 touchdowns against my Chiefs. I should tack on 3 more years to your sentence just for slashing our defense like that. So that was an embarrassing performance by just about everybody, from the parole board and from Simpson himself. And yet, as poorly as Oge handled that, he still got over. He still gets out on October 1st. And after that, what does the future hold? Well, according to OJ, noted good guy OJ, quote, right now, I'm at a point in my life that I want to spend time with my family and friends, end quote.
Right now, I'm at a point in my life where all I want to do is spend time with my, as much time as I can with my children and my friends, and I'm not looking to be involved with the media.
What do you mean to tell me? This guy's just going to go home, play golf, and never surface ever again. Sure he's not. This guy's not wired that way. He's the juice. He'll probably jump on Twitter, and it will take all of 30 minutes before some egg hooks him by asking if he killed Bill Walsh. This guy's not going away. He still thinks he's the juice. the Heisman Trophy winner, the NFL star, the movie star, the pitchman, and the sideline reporter. 9 years in the can did not change anything. We could all see that 5 minutes into that hearing yesterday. As I said yesterday, this dude is more popular now than he's ever been before. And that run is his oxygen. He needs it. He lives off of it. Hell no, this guy's not going to stay down and just go away and spend his remaining years quietly with his friends and his family. This cat can't wait to start being the juice all over again. Let's just hope that he doesn't start killing, kidnapping, and robbing all over again.
No comment, sir.
This guy's not going away quietly. This guy's not going to spend time with his family and on the golf course with his friends. This guy cannot wait to be the juice all over again. Trust me. All right, so as I mentioned, good news, bad news. Good news for the juice, he's going to bounce. Probably on October 1st. The bad news is, according to TMZ Sports, they've already moved him to a special housing area in the Lovelock Correctional Center to protect him from inmates who are possibly looking to harm him in order to make a name for themselves. After he was granted parole, according to TMZ Sports, he was moved out of the general population and into confined housing. TMZ says, quote, "We're told there is no specific threat on OJ's life, but several inmates in the prison have life sentences, quote, and nothing to lose," end quote. "Maybe opportunists looking to hurt or kill Simpson before he leaves to raise their own profile." Hey, what happened to this guy has lived a conflict-free life? What happened to this guy's the great guy on the street? What happened to this guy's the commissioner of 18 softball teams? And that he's not on the wrong side of anybody in the slam? That everybody likes him? If that were the case, they would not be moving him out of general population. If that were the case, people would not be looking to, quote, hurt or kill him. I would imagine that's not a good place to be. You're in a place with a bunch of other guys who, quote, have nothing to lose and want to somehow enhance their own standing in a place where they're going to be for the rest of their lives and they've got nothing to lose. Yeah, I would imagine that'd be a pretty good mark, pretty good notch on that gun belt. I'm the guy that maimed OJ. Or I'm the guy that killed him? The prison rep also told TMZ that OJ did not request the special protection, but explained, quote, "It's in the best interest of OJ and the prison to make sure that he's safe and comes out of it in one place, or one piece." Yeah, I would imagine it's not going to be a good look for anybody if this guy gets maimed or killed right before getting paroled. Hey, Jim, maybe that guy wearing the KC tie was a test. He was trying to see if OJ had a reaction to something red flowing from the guy's neck. TJ and Bugaha. And now it's on. It can only go down from here. This is that fork in the road. Look, I've got this kind of savvy. I've done this enough to know when things are going to turn and turn for the worse. It's going to happen right now. This guy's responding to OJ's future. "Dear Jim, as the New York Mets top management, we have been criticized for signing a former Heisman Trophy winner and assigning him to our single-A team as a mere publicity stunt. Hopefully, we fully stand by our decision, or however, we fully stand by our decision, and we are immediately sending Mr. Simpson and his size 47 head to St. Lucie to develop him as our new Mr. Met mascot. Regards, Mets Big Wigs." Signed, Denlesks, well-proportioned melon. War Orenthal being the most feared golfer at Brentwood Country Club due to his deadly slice. Still not funny, Denlesks. Still not funny and essentially never will be. But you are right about one thing. You're not funny, Denlesks, but you're right. My man's got a huge melon. And again, I'm not about appearances being show fodder. In fact, I'm about the opposite. But I have to admit, watching that hearing yesterday, Denlesks, I thought of you. I thought about you in one of your sorry shops, where you shot people, and it's so obviously a bad shop, a hacky-type shop. That's what it looked like. OJ sitting there in real time on a real video feed look like one of your shops. That's how badly proportioned his head looked to the rest of his body. My man's got a gigantic melon, which is why apparently the guards were calling him Bobblehead. And there's more. So he's not out yet. They've already moved him. And apparently he's already got a job offer. And that didn't take long, did it? And you knew it wouldn't. He gets over in that parole hearing, and he's already got his first job offer. 10 weeks before he's due to walk out of Lovelock, a free man. Again, what is life going to look like for a guy on the outside? That guy. Is he going to hide out in Florida, play some golf, and stay low? Or is he going to go back to being the old OJ and start robbing, kidnapping, and killing people again? Hopefully not. Hopefully it's somewhere in the middle. Now, I'm not sure if this is considered the middle of those two lives, but you know that world-famous sex brothel out near Vegas? It told TMZ yesterday that OJ's got a gig if he wants one there. The Bunny Ranch. Lamar Odom's unfortunate home away from home back in 2015 wants Orenthal to live on site and to post up at the door and greet patrons as they arrive. Yeah, because nothing says a good time like shaking hands with a double murderer right before paying for sex. That checks all the boxes, doesn't it? The owner of the ranch told TMZ, quote, "One of the conditions of a prisoner being granted parole is always having an established place to live and a job to go to, and I can offer OJ both of those in a unique situation." Yeah, I'm pretty sure also that one of the conditions of parole is also staying out of trouble. Yeah, but then again, what could possibly go wrong at a sex brothel out in the middle of the desert? I'm sure OJ, a dude who's been in the slam for 9 years and who essentially killed his ex-wife in a jealous rage, I'm sure he would do great around a bunch of naked women all day long.
Sex with me.
Yet that idea sounds about as good as Home Shopping Network asking the Juice if he'd come hawk a special knife set for them on TV. And apparently I'm not the only one who thinks so. It turns out that some of the ladies at the ranch are threatening to quit if OJ gets anywhere near putting a name tag on. One of them told TMZ, quote, "The last thing we need is another link to the Kardashian clan coming around to ruin our business and jeopardize our safety." Yeah, jeopardizing your safety or robbing you or kidnapping you or killing you. No one needs that either. Now look, I understand that this whole thing's just essentially a big pub grab, of course, and it worked because the owner of the ranch has me and TMZ and everybody else out there with their name in our mouth. And they're getting a hell of a lot of run off it, this informal job offer that you know he won't take. A job offer that he couldn't even take if he wanted to, since his gig is in Nevada. And he said it himself yesterday, he's probably not wanted in Nevada.
I could easily stay in Nevada, but I don't think you guys want me here.
No comment, sir.
Hey, Juice, do us all a favor. You're going to get, what, 25 GER a month from your NFL pension. Additional Jack from SAG. Money that your creditors can never get at? Take that money, live off that money, and go the hell away. Nobody wants to see you write a blog. Nobody wants to see you host a podcast. Nobody wants you to welcome visitors to a brothel. You know how hard it's been for me to host this show for the past 20 years because of you? And how nice it's been for the past 9 years with you not around? Take that NFL money and stay down. Travis Shaw, Milwaukee Brewers third baseman, joins me when we come back. The third hour after that is wide open. You're listening to CBS Sports Radio.